Another short-term funding bill in Washington makes long-term planning difficult around the country.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. At the end of this month, funding for more than 100,000 highway and transit projects dries up unless Congress can agree on an extension. Usually, those extensions are 5 or 6 years. But this week, the Senate is likely to approve only a 2-year patch. Here's our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale.
Big fixes for traffic congestion can take 3 or more years. John Horsley at the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials says contractors want to know they're going to be paid.
What you're seeing for the moment is projects selected that you can execute in one construction season. The longer-term big projects right now are on hold.
And that means only Band-Aids for crumbling highways, says Gregory Cohen. He's president of the American Highway Users Alliance, representing truck, bus, and other highway users.
When you do a long-term bill, not only do you create those construction jobs, but you also get the projects done that really improve the economy on a grand scale.
But so far, Congress has been unable to come up with any transportation funding beyond 2 years, which means even tougher revenue-raising decisions somewhere down the road. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
It has been a year since the earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster in Japan, and the economy there is finally starting to look better. As for the people, well, Marketplace's Scott Tong recently visited the country to check back in with some who had to evacuate their homes after the Fukushima nuclear disaster. He filed this report.
Last year, I ran into some first-grade girls at an evacuation shelter. They skipped rope. They sang the school song from the hometown they fled. One mom, Emika Shiga, wondered at the time about her job at an auto part factory near Fukushima. Would it start up again? Would they keep her on the payroll? Fast forward 1 year, and she's fired.
The factory resumed production just outside the nuclear zone, but I'm here with my family and my husband's job. It's too far away. So as of March 10th, I'm fired.
The boss gave workers exactly 1 year to return or else. So Emika Shiga's thinking of another line of work, perhaps part-time. For now, though, family is job one. They've moved 4 times since the tsunami. Her son and her daughter have a new school with a new song. She is a busy mom. She drives the kids to school and hustles grandparents around town. They evacuated too. And she waits through official papers to get reimbursement from the nuclear power plant, whose meltdown kicked them out of their homes. Probably forever, says her husband.
The whole town has to be decontaminated to a low level of radiation before anyone moves back. I doubt that will happen. It's sad, but we can't look back.
If anything good has come out of this, Japan has shown it takes care of its own. The Shiga family has received 10 months of unemployment pay, 2 years' worth of rent stipends, and an army of volunteer helpers.
All these people sharing their generosity, it's far more than I'd imagined.
And she didn't imagine the family dog would be here. When the family fled, they left it behind. But a month later, they made a quick trip back home. Somehow, without any food, the hound survived. In Saitama, Japan, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, down just slightly in London, up 0.33% in Frankfurt, up 0.25% in Hong Kong right now. Also higher, ridership on the nation's transit systems last year, up 2.3%, according to the American Public Transportation Association. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow inched forward 14 points to close at 12,922.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Tonight is the night for NBC, at least. NBC is placing its biggest primetime hopes, The Voice and Smash, on Monday night, maybe hoping to replace Thursday night with Monday night as the new night for must-see TV. Here's Marketplace's Sally Herships.
Thursday night, you used to be the night for NBC. Remember Seinfeld, Friends, The Cosby Show?
The era of NBC dominating Thursday nights is over.
Tim Molloy is television editor for TheWrap.com. He says NBC's current Thursday night shows, like 30 Rock, are just no match for the Death Star, black hole, ratings eater that is American Idol on Fox. So NBC is putting a lot of effort into its Monday nights.
It's a pretty good night for television because absolutely no one goes out.
Everyone's home, ready to watch The Voice on NBC, which Molloy says now has better ratings than any primetime show, including American Idol. Robert Thompson teaches TV and popular culture at Syracuse University. He says it's the show that matters, not the night it's on. Even on Friday and Saturday nights, potential suicide slots when people are out and about.
In the end, you put a really good program that people want to watch on a Friday night, and they'll stay home and watch it.
And advertisers will follow. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, to something on the verge of extinction in these modern times. I'm not talking about a sea turtle or a bird, but rather church bowling alleys. Bowling alleys in churches. According to USA Today, thanks to the growing popularity of lunchrooms and meeting areas, there are now fewer than 200 church bowling alleys left in America. About which I say, there were 200 church bowling alleys left in America? We hope you'll follow us on Twitter. We are at Marketplace Radio. We're also on Facebook at APM Marketplace. Go and like us and check us out online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.